Welcome to the Insurance Business Babes podcast, where we show you how we've grown our insurance and related businesses through talking about what works for us, what didn't work, and we'll help you grow your own business through our struggles and our successes. This show is owned by CMED LLC and hosted by Kathy Klein and Joanna Wyckoff. And now, let's get busy. Joanna, today we are, as promised, going to help our listeners help their clients save money using, drumroll please, Medicaid waivers. So why don't you tell our listener what a Medicaid waiver is?
Sure. So thank you so much, Kathy. Many people know, but I'll remind you, I used to work for a government agency called Social Security Administration in Atlanta, Georgia. And when I was working there, I encountered so many people from all different walks of life. But many people would come and say, hey, I have to quit my job to take care of mom. Mom has dementia. Is there any programs to pay me? Because I have to do this. Here in Georgia, there wasn't at the time. And I'm going to tell you about another program later. But I became aware of most states having a Medicaid waiver program. And just like it sounds, waiving the normal resource and income requirements for Medicaid. So if someone doesn't qualify for regular Medicaid, Medicare savings program because of income and resources, they might qualify based off of medical need. Now, they usually still do have an income and resource limit, but it's normally 3 times the normal. And every state is different, but I've seen most of these in most states where there's normally a waiver program for people of severe disability or mental disability. So I normally see them for intellectual disabilities. Think about someone who has Down syndrome or another lifetime long disability where they might need 24-hour care supervision, or dementia and Alzheimer's. They might need someone to come in and bathe them. These are the people who come in and do the bathing, the dressing, things like that. It's not wound care. It could be, but it's usually something like that. You've probably seen people with bed bound. They may have G-tubes and a lot of equipment, usually 24-hour nurse care, things like that.
Are you talking about home care or home health care?
In Georgia, for instance, there is a program called CCSP, and it's community-based care. What they're trying to do, Kathy, is it's usually cheaper to pay for someone to get care at home than to pay for them in an institution. So if someone requires an institutional level of care, they normally meet the requirement for this program. I've seen them cover adult daycare. I've seen them cover somebody coming to the house 8 to 10 hours a day and taking care of somebody. It's a great program. Now, it's usually ran by the Department of Aging or Medicaid, right? It's always a government program that runs it. Here in Georgia, it's the Department of Aging. It's not as fast as getting like a Medicare savings program application approved because the caseworker has to do the evaluation. They have to meet the level of care necessary. And so many people, Kathy, ask me, well, how do I find out in my state if that exists? We have this great thing called Google now. Google did not exist when I was growing up. I don't think it existed when you grown up. But when I work out of state, like let's say I'm working and trying to find a Medicaid waiver program in South Carolina or Texas or Florida, I simply put in Medicaid waiver plus the state I'm working in and look for a .gov program, .gov or .org, and I can normally start finding them. Like I just found South Carolina's, and South Carolina has a couple different ones. One's for intellectual disability. The other one is for head and spinal cord injury. And another one is for people admitted to a nursing facility. And nursing home Medicaid is a very common. Most states have nursing home Medicaid.
I keep bringing up California because I have a lot of clients there. But in California, there's no limit on your income for, I think it's Medi-Cal waiver in California. But I had attorneys, estate planning attorneys that used to refer people to me
because they would help people get on Medicaid. And one of my attorneys had somebody with ALS, and that person was still working, and he made over $100,000 a year. And he was on Medicaid because his expenses were so high. Now, he had to put some of that $100,000 a year towards his medical expenses, but the state of California picked up the rest. And I mean, he needed 24-hour care. I don't know how he worked.
Sometimes there is things that people can do, especially with higher levels of education. Think about Stephen Hawking, somebody who's really smart intellectually. Actually, let me tell you a little side story. When I worked at Social Security, there was a gentleman who was applying for disability and he was denied, and he was in a wheelchair, double amputee, but he had a PhD. And the Social Security Determination Service said, despite your physical limitations, you have a PhD and you can teach in a wheelchair. I have a master's degree and I sell insurance. In order for me to become disabled under Social Security's disability regulations, I would have to lose my mental facilities to qualify because of my level of education, and I can make money just from talking.
Joanna, then just apply during AEP, because we all lose our minds during AEP.
That's right. I wanted to give the reference for this for our listener. The reference is 1915C, home and community-based service waivers is what I normally see in most states. So if you put 1915C, home and community-based service waiver, plus your state, you would probably find the regulation.
That is a really good tip.
And so this one in California, I just pulled up, covers licensed and certified home health care agencies, individuals licensed for HCBC waiver providers, and unlicensed caregivers. So another tip, Kathy, here in the great state of Georgia, and I've seen it in other states like Pennsylvania, have a family caregiver program now. So in Georgia, this is just a couple years new. You have family caregiver who does not work outside the home, so they can't have another job and is related to you by blood, and you are on Medicaid, you can hire them to be your caregiver. Now, you do have to meet the level of care need. You have to have a need for a caregiver. But this is where those folks who are quitting their jobs to take care of mom, dad, brother, sister, are actually getting compensated now. And I'm really happy about that. And usually you have to go through a home health care agency to receive that certification and compensation.
Well, because they want to make sure that you're able to take care of your loved one, right?
Right.
Some of us, we don't know how to lift somebody safely out of their bed or out of their chair. I agree with that, that people need to get trained before the state is going to pay them.
Sure.
For the listener, you'd be surprised at how much income you can have. You don't have to be completely 100% destitute to qualify for some of these programs.
That's a thing. So I frequently mention this on our Facebook group, Medicare Mentors Media, and most agents are like, but they're over the income of Medicaid. I said, you're not listening. It's a Medicaid waiver. Think about the term waiver. It waives the income and resource requirement that is standard. It's a waiver, right? One of the common waivers for a disabled child in the country is called a Katie Beckett waiver. That was one of my very first introductions. I was working at Social Security and I had a very wealthy family. The dad was like the vice president of a bank and very wealthy. And they said, we're just here to get a denial from SSI so we can qualify for a waiver because our child, she was severely disabled. She needed 24-hour attendance and stuff so she could qualify for the Katie Beckett waiver. And that's for disabled children. So there is usually resources. We just have to do a little research, Kathy, because I think a lot of times we limit ourselves by our own knowledge. Well, I've never heard of that before. Okay, well, let's research it, right? I mean, I'm a professional researcher and I was in college for years and years. But that's when someone mentions something, we should be willing to go investigate it farther because our knowledge has been limited, right, by our exposure. So if you haven't been exposed to it yet, I think it's fair that you owe it to your clients to researching it farther in your state.
How much would you say one of these waivers could be potentially worth? Well, as far as getting benefits?
Well, it usually gives them what they call QMB in my state, or FBDE. So that would pay the Part B premium and the 20% co-insurance. And then here in Georgia, it gives them the same benefits of long-term care. I have a client, she got approved for it. She was falling in her home frequently and she was over the Medicaid limit, but now she has someone coming to see her 8 hours a day. I mean, 8 hours a day times what, $20 an hour? I mean, that's a lot of money.
So if it were up to you, because people who qualify for Medicaid generally also qualify for PACE. And PACE will do some of these same things, right? But the Medicaid waiver is probably more valuable.
Well, it depends on the state. Now, Georgia does not have PACE. So it depends on the state.
Okay. And for listeners, PACE is a program. It's kind of like an all-in-one. It's like a Medicare Advantage. You go onto a program. It's got kind of a network usually, but they also will bring care to you. They have programs for you. Sometimes the PACE programs, you live there, and sometimes the PACE programs, you go there during the day. It's like adult daycare kind of. Just all different sorts of programs designed. Try to remember what PACE stands for. With PACE, you generally have to be on Medicaid. So it's Medicare or Medicaid. It's an all-encompassing program for people on those two programs that goes outside what you and I can sell. But it gives additional benefits on top of what we can sell. And those benefits generally have to do with people who need more specialized caregiving.
I was familiar with PACE in Pennsylvania since one of my partners lives there. And the PACE income limits for a single person is quite low. It's $14,500 or less. And then there's another level of PACE net, which is $33,000. So $33,000 is quite high for eligibility. I mean, most seniors are under that on their Social Security alone. So if they don't have anything other than their Social Security, they would probably meet that limit.
I'm just wondering which would be better benefits, PACE or the Medicaid waiver. Some states allow you to go into assisted living, like an actual community with a waiver program, but the beds are limited. Mm-hmm. You know, so you might have a 300-bed facility and they might have 10 beds available for waiver programs. And so that's a type of waiver program as well, where they can actually go into a facility and have Medicaid pay for it.
I've seen that here in Georgia with CCSP. I've heard of them paying someone's rent in a personal care home.
That's like a group home, right? A home with six or eight people.
Yeah. And things that you learn by talking to people. I talk to the home health care owner. Usually they say they have a couple beds for this, a couple beds for that. And she's like, by the way, I have a veteran's bed. A veteran. I got a bed for a veteran. So the veteran, the VA must have a high reimbursement for that as well.
Wait, so wouldn't that be aid in attendance or is that different?
Aid in attendance, I believe, right? Things that you normally don't think about, but we can now try to think outside the box.
So let's talk about aid in attendance. Since you're a veteran and you know veteran program, we've talked about Medicaid waivers. Is there anything we need to say more about Medicaid waivers before we move into veterans aid in attendance?
No, I would just make sure that you exhaust all resources. And here's the thing, Kathy. I, as just Joanna, the insurance agent, don't make any decisions for anybody. If I think they might even think about passing, I refer them over. I would rather the government give 100 no's to possibly get one yes than to deny someone a referral. So if I say, you know what, apply anyway, the worst you could do is get a no. Apply anyways, because I've been shocked with some of the yeses I've seen. I was shocked with someone who had just regular diabetes, from what I know, he got approved for it. I'm like, I don't know how you got approved for it with just a continuous glucose monitor, but more power to you.
Just never know. There are advisors that deal with this, and this is all they deal with, the aid in attendance and the Medicaid waivers. I would say make friends with some of those people. Talk to your clients about these programs. Make sure that they know that you gave them that step, that you are the one that helped them find the expert that helped them, or you can tell them where to apply, but you don't have to apply for them and you don't want to because you don't want to do it wrong, right?
Right.
So tell us about the Veterans Aid and Attendance.
Yeah. So Veteran Aid and Attendance, it's by the Veteran Administration. And to qualify for VA Aid and Attendance, first, you have to be a veteran. And then second, you have to either qualify for a monthly disability amount or a VA pension. So the VA pension is a little bit different than disability compensation. It's usually for people who are low income, who meet the criteria for wartime service and income and age. And then the next criteria is you have to meet the active duty service eligibility criteria. And then you have to have a need for someone else to complete your normal daily living and activities. So ADLs, so bathing, toileting, transferring, feeding, things like that. And then your illness or medical condition requires that you stay in bed all day. Now, is it 24 hours to the dot? I don't know. I think all day is relative. Another criteria is you can also be a patient in a long-term assistive facility, memory care, or nursing home, or you have limited eyesight, or you suffer from an illness or permanent disability that requires you to stay home. So they call that homebound. You can be homebound without being truly homebound in most people's ideology.
Without being bedbound. You can be homebound without being bedbound.
And homebound is usually somebody who has difficulty leaving the house. So that doesn't mean that they can never leave the house. It's just a marked difficulty of leaving, whether it's because of mobility or mental capacity. And think about a lot of my sisters and brothers in the military service. Some of them have seen and gone through horrible things, Kathy. And some of them have like a lot of trauma that might make them homebound. They might not have any physical limitations, but the trauma that they've gone through mentally might have them classified as homebound. And usually that's where we see that when it's PTSD related, if they have a significant trauma. And we have a lot of that now with Vietnam era veterans who went through so much trauma, or Iraqi and war veterans who went through a lot. And so you just apply at the VA. There's VSOs who can help you. And it's normally going to pay for someone to provide that help.
Well, I think that's great. And we did a whole show about veterans benefits where we just barely touched on this. I'd like to go another direction, but still helping our listeners help your clients get some either funds they need or ways to save money. And I would say the number one issue that my clients have, especially the ones on original Medicare and a drug plan, similar with Medicare Advantage, but Medicare Advantage tends to cover drugs better. And that is, a lot of insurance agents are not aware of patient assistance programs. And patient assistance programs are also easier to qualify for than you might think. I have clients that are making six figures that qualify for these patient assistance programs. I'm trying to remember some of these drugs. I know that Farxiga is one.
I've helped people with Skyrizi.
Oh my gosh, Skyrizi. I just spoke to somebody who was taking Skyrizi because his wife works and wife wanted to retire. I looked it up and I said, well, wife, I don't think you can retire because Skyrizi is going to cost you $118,000 a year. And then they went on the Skyrizi, whatever, whoever makes it, and you had to make less than $118,000 and you had to pay more than 4% or something like that to qualify for the non-Medicare side. And by the way, he was on the Skyrizi patient assistance program right then already. And I said, well, the Medicare patient assistance program is different from the non-Medicare patient assistance program. So there was a 3-week period where we weren't sure if wife was going to be able to retire. It looks like she's going to be able to retire now. So yay for that, because he's going to qualify. Yeah, Skyrizi is just crazy expensive. A whole bunch of medication that your clients might be on, or they might be like my client waiting to go onto Medicare because they can't afford their drugs or they can't afford their spouse's drugs. How do you find out about these patient assistance programs specifically for medications?
Well, I'm going to give you some knowledge. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for my Joanna knowledge bomb.
I happen to be the mentor of a licensed pharmacist named Norma Johnson, who is the mastermind behind Strategies for Rx Savings. And she built a whole database of patient assistance programs That's her whole platform.
Oh.
Yeah. Norma's going to be actually at the conference that I'm speaking at in Savannah in June that you're going to be in attendance at.
Yes, I am a sponsor.
Yeah. She has been teaching so many agents about this because back when we started our Facebook group in 2018, very few of us knew about patient assistance programs and grants. And I just happened to came across one grant. There's a common medication that many of our patients get put on called Eliquis, right? Eliquis is so common. And most people don't know that their patient assistance foundation to help with the cost of Eliquis. And that one, by the way, is called Bristol, B-R-I-S-T-O-L, Myers-Squibb.
Bristol-Myers, right. They used to do aspirin. That was what they were known for. So Norma charges for this. She doesn't do it for free.
She does. It's very reasonable. I pay it for it myself, even though she's my agent.
Right.
It was $50 a month. And I think she said she was going up to $75 a month. But that thing.
That is a very well done website. Is that all that is, though? Is it just patient assistance programs or is it something else included?
So she has an additional thing that you can purchase. It's a presentation that you can do in the community, like a seminar, patient assistance prescriptions for, like I do my Social Security seminars.
And it doesn't have to be Medicare approved because it's not about Medicare.
Exactly. And she's been filling the seeds. I sponsored that program for a lot of my own agents. We're filling the seeds because it's a pain problem for most people.
Because it's expensive. Your drugs are pricey.
Right. And I think I talk about this all the time. Think about your 69-year-old already knows what Medicare ABC is. They don't need a Medicare 101. They're looking for solutions to their problems. And one of their big problems is usually those expensive medications. You don't have to file the event with anybody. You can, but you don't have to because it's not a Medicare 101.
It's not about Medicare. Let's just be real clear for the listener. When your client is on a patient assistance program, let's say the only drug they take is Skyrizi and they don't take anything else, they still need a drug plan. Because if they do not buy a drug plan, they are going to wind up with a penalty, which could cause problems later. So even if they get on a patient assistance program, which is going to pay for their meds, they still need a drug plan. And I'm not on Norma's program, but I've heard from you and other people that it's very good. There is another program that I use, and it is free. Not a program, it's a website. I tell my clients about the website, and I've created a video that shows them how to use the website. I think the way they make their money is through advertising. That website is called needymeds.com or needymeds.org.
That's what I originally used, yep.
And I've gotten many of my clients into patient assistance programs through showing them how to use that website. There is another program that you can refer your clients to if they want more handholding. I don't know how much handholding you need. I mean, you apply for it in 48 hours. Most of these programs, it's a 48-hour turnaround.
And most of them you can apply for by phone, right?
Exactly. But there is another program called NiceRx. That's Joanna's Very Nice. But they charge you $49 per drug per month.
So I have a friend that was running a company like that. They're basically charging you for them doing that paperwork that the foundation usually does for free.
Exactly. And so do you need to pay? If you're on three drugs, do you need to pay $150 a month to get your drugs for free? I mean, yeah, it's a better deal than doing it through your drug plan, but they do have some bad reviews like on the Better Business Bureau and stuff like that. And I think it's because people agreed to pay and then they don't want to when they find out that they didn't have to. But
Right. You
made that agreement. So if you're agreeing to it, then it's kind of like the companies that say, we found you have $1,000 in a bank account somewhere in another state that you used to live in, but we're not going to tell you who it is. You have to give us 30%. You could find that on your own, but they did the work for you, right?
This is true.
So yes, you can use Norma's program, which is very good. And if you do pay for her program, I highly recommend that you utilize the other things that she offers, such as the workshop. You can refer your clients to Needy Meds for free. You can use NiceRx, but let them know that they could do it for free. Don't want them to be mad at you. Are there any other programs that help people find patient assistance programs?
So we had known it's very similar to NICE-RX. It was called Prescription Hope. And I think they do the same exact thing. But like I said, like when I came across Prescription Hope years ago, probably 5-6 years ago, I was like, so they're basically just answering the phone, taking the same information that my client can do by calling the company on needy meds, you know, and I'm all about saving a dollar. So I just try to skip over and go to needy meds.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But needy meds is going to require more handholding on your part. They're not going to give you a presentation that you can use.
So let's talk about this while we're talking about saving on medications. So sometimes there is no patient assistance for a medication. And sometimes we have to get a little fancy, Kathy. Now, I have gotten fancy. I publicly say that I'm taking semaglutide right now. I pay cash to a compound pharmacy for my semaglutide. Now, semaglutide is the active drug in Ozempic and Mounjaro. And I tell people, talk to your doctor about my compound is B12. It's not compounded with anything other than that. So I pay a licensed pharmacy in New York to mail it to me. And I pay 1/10 of what the retail cost is for the brand drug Ozempic, right?
How do you do that? If a generic's not available, how are they doing the compounding with that generic?
I don't know
unavailable.
The legalities of it, but it's somehow legal by compounding it.
Okay.
It's somehow legal. I don't know. And then another thing, sometimes I can find a medication in a Canadian pharmacy. Have you ever used Canadian pharmacies?
We absolutely, and we use it for our dog. Yeah, it's cheaper, definitely. I have a list of these things on my website, not the certifiedmedicareagents.com, but the personal website that I use for clients that lists, I think I've named it GoodRx and other alternatives, something like that. Mm-hmm. Just when you're talking to your clients about the Canadian pharmacies and the GoodRx's and the, what's the Mark Cuban one?
Cost Plus Drugs.
Right. When you're talking to them about these programs, Blink Health, all of these, let them know that they're going outside their drug plan.
Yeah.
And it's not going to count towards their deductible. It's not going to count towards the donut hole. It's not going to count towards the catastrophic coverage. Make sure they know that, because otherwise they could come after you for not telling them. Whenever we get a client that emails us and says, I'm going to use GoodRx, I'm like, that's fine. I use GoodRx too. And I have a little thing. I use my text expander that we've talked about. That says, just understand this is going outside your drug plan, which is totally okay, but it doesn't count towards your deductible, doesn't count, blah, 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 blah. So CYA, cover your assets.
There you go.
You don't want to get sued. And if you do get sued, you want proof that you told people things either on your recorded phone call or through your email or however you're communicating with them.
I think that's fabulous. There's so many resources out there. I don't see many people talking about them or knowing about them. I mean, my carriers are not telling me about patient assistance.
How did you find out about the compounding thing? I never would have, like, this is completely brand new to me.
So this insurance agent, she has group insurance through her spouse, who has really good insurance. And I was joking with her. I was like, does he have any coworkers? I'll get married for some Ozempic, right? And she said, you know, there's an alternative. My sister found this. I first had to find a doctor to prescribe it to me too, because I go to the VA and the VA would not prescribe it to me because I'm not diabetic. And so she said, use this online doctor program called Push Health. You could pay for a doctor consult online. One of their pharmacies, they'll send it to any pharmacy you want. One of the pharmacies is a compound pharmacy that my sister, she said, uses. And she said it's about $120 plus shipping for a month's supply. And I was blown away because I couldn't afford $1,000 plus the doctors and everything every month.
So it's just by word of mouth. You didn't find out about it based on Norma's program or based on needy meds.
And so I share it to people. If I find out something that's going to help you, I want to tell the world about it. Now, I told too many people. I told a bunch of people on these weight loss Facebook groups, and now my medication's taking 4 or 5 days to get to me instead of the overnight.
Well, that's your fault.
That's my fault.
Well, maybe we shouldn't have this podcast, because all the stuff we talk about is all of a sudden it's...
So that's one of the downfalls of sharing your honey hole with people. But we want everybody to be blessed, right? I want everybody to have the same access that I have.
We want people to get their meds. We want people to afford their meds. I have people that say they're not going to take their meds.
Yeah.
I'm like, your meds are keeping you alive.
Especially life and death situations. You're completely right. So like another doctor was texting me this past weekend going, he was trying to find some insurance for his client who's not approved for disability yet. And I said, send him to me. I could probably get him approved for Marketplace or Medicaid in the state of Georgia. I have to talk to him. And I was like, I know some prescription assistance programs. Send him over and send his list of meds because that's where I need to work from first. But it's always researching, Kathy. A lot of things might not be the obvious, right? So it might not be an insurance product that actually solves the problem. It might be a grant. It might be a government program. It might be a foreign solution, right?
This is why it's good for the listener to make friends with other people in our industry and to do research when you're not during AEP. Now's the time to start learning about some of these programs that you could offer to your clients. Now's the time to do your videos, write your articles, do whatever to make your life easier during AEP. Know you're going to get the same questions over and over again. So instead of answering those questions over and over again, create something. It doesn't have to be something you put on YouTube. It can be something that's internal. You know, if you're shy to go on camera or whatever, you don't have to become a TikTok star, but do something that's specifically answering questions that your clients have so that you have more time during AEP and you're not running around with your hair on fire. Do this research and learn these things now. Become a resource.
Most definitely. And you think that I'm not getting referrals from people I help save hundreds of thousands of dollars? They're sending, because they don't want their friends and family to go to an agent who doesn't know about it. They want them to call me. I mean, I'm getting referrals from giving Social Security advice. The way my brain can help people save their resources, and it's a gift. One thing that we were talking about earlier, sometimes I can help somebody save money. Maybe I might not be able to get you qualified for a drug program, but if I can help you qualify for a social economic program that helps you save the money to afford it, right? Like energy assistance. I just got my gas bill, $320. And I live in Georgia, but there's energy assistance programs out there for seniors and disabled. And we should learn about them, because if you can help someone save, $320 is probably one third of someone's Social Security check. I know, because I used to have people who made $900. I mean, that's, how are they going to afford that, right?
There's insurance carriers that have a link to, I'm trying to remember, it's been a while since I've done that, but you can go online and you can type in everything for your client, and then it spits out, here's all the programs that you're eligible for. Do you remember what that's called?
I want to say it's called Benefit Checkup.
I used to do that for people when I was sitting at a booth.
Benefitscheckup.org is the one that I know about, and it's ran by the National Council of Aging.
You type in their zip code, type in their income, you type in a bunch of things, and then it'll spit out what benefits that they're eligible. Yeah.
Like there's tax help. There's energy assistance. And most states have energy assistance and stuff.
And maybe when you're doing your reviews with your clients, you should do one of these benefit checkups with them. I do birthday reviews. When I'm talking about, obviously, Medicare supplement. You don't do birthday reviews with people on Medicare Advantage. But a lot of times it's just, oh, yeah, you know, you like your plan. I can't save you any money this year. Nice talking to you. Bye. Well, maybe I should be doing one of these benefit checkups with them or talking to them about how much money are you spending on your medications. I can't change your drug plan, but we're not going to talk about your drug plan, but maybe you might qualify for one of these patient assistance programs. Listener, maybe you should be doing that too.
The fourth one down is aging in place, and it talks about home and community-based waivers. How about that?
There you go. See? So we all need to get on this website. And I hope it makes a pretty printout. We can send the printout to our clients.
Yeah.
Another value add, right?
Another value add.
Well, thank you. We started out just thinking we were going to talk about Medicaid waivers, and we gave you a whole bunch of ways to help your clients. So please take notes. I will probably, in the show notes this time, I'll probably post like 10 thought-provoking questions about today's episode, and that'll help you, the listener, figure out how you want to use this episode to help your clients. Thanks again, Joanna. This was a really fun pod.
Thanks for joining me today.
For the listener, we'll see you next time on the Insurance Business Babes podcast. Bye.
Bye.